Well, good morning again. As I had mentioned before, the topic of this morning's teaching is Jesus as the prophesied Messiah. You know, when we in America share the gospel message, it is not very often that we discuss Old Testament prophecies and how Jesus was the Messiah who was prophesied to come. However, it appears that in New Testament days, it was common to present the gospel message along with some Old Testament prophecies. We'll be looking at some examples of this. But the fulfillment of prophecy foretelling future events is a powerful argument even today to show that Jesus was indeed the Messiah. By the way, the word Messiah means the anticipated deliverer and the anticipated king of the Jews. Other common words that we use for Messiah are Christ and Savior. So let's start by looking at John chapter 4. In this passage, Jesus is having a conversation with a woman at a well. And we will see that Jesus publicly acknowledges that he is the Messiah. And another thing I want to point out before we read some verses here is that not only can a prophet foretell future events, but a prophet can also be envisioned with past events and present events that he, the prophet, had no part in. So let's start by reading John 4, verse 16. And Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have well said, 'I have no husband.' For you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. You have said this truly." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet." Let's move on to verse 25. The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When that one comes, he will declare all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." So it's important here that we see that Jesus himself said that he was the Messiah. And because of attributes that God alone possesses, God was able and has given us over 300 prophecies of the Messiah. But before we look at messianic prophecy, I'd like to say a few things about the Bible. No other book, religious or not, that has ever existed can compare to the Bible in the number, specificity, and fulfillment of prophecies. The Bible stands alone in its incredible divine revelations of the coming Messiah and the fulfillment of those revelations. As proof that the Bible is divine revelation, no prophecy of the Bible has ever been found to be a false or an accurate prediction of future events. Turn, if you would, to Isaiah 53. In this chapter of Isaiah, there are many messianic prophecies, but we're going to only read a few verses, starting in verse 3. And again, these are prophecies about the Messiah. "He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions." I think that's talking about the crucifixion. "He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The prophecy of Isaiah 53, along with other biblical prophecies, foretold how it was the predetermined plan of God that the Messiah should suffer and die for the sins of men. With this in mind, let's turn to Luke chapter 24. In Luke 24, there are two historical accounts of Jesus sharing the gospel after he had risen from the dead. We will see how Jesus relied on Old Testament prophecy to present himself as the Messiah and to present the gospel message to his disciples. The first account begins with verse 13. And again, this is Jesus sharing. And before we start reading, I want to set this up a little bit. Here we have two followers of Jesus who are traveling to Emmaus. And this is after the resurrection. However, these two guys are unaware that Jesus has risen. So we'll start in verse 13. And behold, two of them were going that very day to a village named Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were conversing with each other about all things which had taken place. And it came about that while they were conversing and discussing, Jesus himself approached and began traveling with them. But their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. And Jesus said to them, "What are these words that you guys are exchanging with one another as you are walking?" And they stood still, looking sad. And one of them, named Cleopas, answered and said to him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem and unaware of the things which have happened here in these days?" And Jesus said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "The things about Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word in the sight of God and all the people, and how the chief priests and the rulers delivered him up to the sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, it is the third day since these things have happened." So we see here that these two followers of Jesus at this time only saw him as a prophet, a miracle worker. Their hopes were dashed. They were hoping that Jesus would be someone greater, perhaps even the Messiah. So how does Jesus respond to these two guys? If we go to verse 25, "And Jesus said to them, 'O foolish men, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures." So we see here Jesus making the argument using Old Testament scripture that he was more than a prophet and miracle worker. Jesus relies upon Old Testament prophecies and his fulfillment of those prophecies to prove that he was indeed the Messiah who was predicted to come. Well, before we look at the second account in Luke 24, I wanted to point out that even the apostles lost hope in who Jesus was after he was taken into custody. As a matter of fact, all the apostles abandoned Jesus and refused to acknowledge him publicly as the Messiah and King of the Jews. So I ask, were the apostles so weak, timid, and fear-filled men that they quickly folded once Jesus was taken into custody. I believe the most difficult thing in messianic prophecies for the apostles to perceive and accept was that the Messiah, the Christ, should have to suffer and be put to death. I don't think the apostles struggled so much with who they thought Jesus was by the life he led, a life of supernatural power and incredible miracles, a life of fulfilled prophecies, a life of love and impeccable character. But all that happened in those last 24 hours of Jesus' life completely wiped out their belief this man was the Messiah, the Christ, the King of the Jews. After Jesus was taken into custody and the following day beaten and crucified, who then did the apostles believe Jesus was? I wonder if the apostles were saying to themselves, Jesus, who are you that with all your supernatural power you could not save yourself from being taken into custody? You could not save yourself from being severely beaten and mocked. You could not save yourself from an horrific death on a cross. It makes no sense that the Messiah, the eternal King, which shows such great weakness and vulnerability, so as to be completely crushed by mere men. Who really are you, Jesus? Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I think the Apostle Paul had a little bit of insight as to what was going on here. He writes in verse 22, "For indeed Jews ask for signs, and Greeks search for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to Jews a stumbling block, and to Gentiles foolishness." The apostles, being Jews themselves, found it extremely difficult to accept the fact that the Christ, the King of the Jews, would be arrested, severely beaten, and then crucified. This was a huge stumbling block for the apostles and for any Jew. In those last 24 hours, I think the apostles understood Jesus to be no more than a mere prophet and miracle worker, not much different than some of the great Jewish prophets that came before him. Let's go back to Luke 24. We'll take a look at the second historical account of Jesus sharing the gospel after he had risen. And we'll start in verse 32. We will see in this account that the two disciples of Jesus that had traveled to Emmaus decide to return to Jerusalem and meet with the apostles. Verse 32. "And they said to one another, were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us? And they arose that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found gathered together the 11 and those who were with them, saying, the Lord has really risen and has appeared to Simon. And the two guys from Emmaus began to relate their experiences on the road and how Jesus was recognized by them in the breaking of bread. And while they were telling these things, Jesus himself stood in their midst. But they were startled and frightened and thought that they were seeing a spirit. And Jesus said to them, why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have. And while they still could not believe it for joy and were marveling, he said to them, Have you anything here to eat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their sight. So we see in these verses here that Jesus suddenly appears out of nowhere to the apostles and the other followers, and he goes on to prove to his followers that he was not a mere spirit, but that he was physically right there with them. This was Jesus proving that he had indeed physically resurrected from the dead. But his resurrection alone was not sufficient proof that Jesus was the Messiah. Why? There are several biblical accounts of others who were resurrected from the dead. And those who were raised from the dead were not the Messiah. So aside from his resurrection, how does Jesus convince his followers that he was the Messiah? Let's go to verse 44. Now Jesus said to them, These are my words, which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all these things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then Jesus opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. So once Jesus resolved with his followers that he had physically resurrected, he then went on to point out through Old Testament scripture that the Christ indeed was prophesied to suffer just as he did. That the Messiah should have to suffer and die was the hardest thing for the apostles to see in the scriptures and then to accept. So Jesus relied on two things to convince his followers that he was indeed the Messiah of the scriptures. The first being his physical resurrection from the dead, and the second being his fulfillment of all the messianic prophecies. This was the testimony of Jesus after the resurrection. If we were to move on to the book of Acts, there are four accounts of the disciples spreading the gospel and referring to messianic prophecy to convince Jews that Jesus was the Messiah. We're not going to read these passages, but I will give you the references, and I'll say a little bit about each one. The first account is in Acts chapter 2, verses 14 through 40. If we were to read this, we would see in verses 17 and 25, Peter quotes Old Testament prophecies from the writings of Joel and from David. And I think Peter was aware that tying Jesus to Old Testament prophecies was essential for the Jews to truly believe that Jesus was the Christ and that salvation was through the suffering and death of Jesus on the cross. The second account is in Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 35. Here, Philip is talking with the Ethiopian eunuch, and he presents Jesus as the Christ after first reading through some verses in Isaiah 53. The third account is Acts chapter 13, verses 14 through 39. Here, Paul is speaking to some Jews in a synagogue, and he presents Jesus as the Christ, again, quoting Old Testament prophecies. The fourth account is Acts chapter 18, verses 24 through 28. Here we have Apollos speaking to Jews, and he presents Jesus as the Christ again, quoting Old Testament scripture. So in the Gospel of Luke and in the book of Acts, there are accounts of how the gospel was presented in New Testament days using Old Testament prophecies. However, fulfillment of Old Testament prophecies by Jesus is a powerful argument even today to show that he is the Messiah. You know, there are many historical accounts of Jesus that he was a religious leader and a great moral teacher, that he performed many miracles, and that he was a prophet who spoke divine revelation. However, hundreds of years before Jesus was ever born, there were prophecies of a Messiah who would come to the earth. Messianic prophecies such as who the Messiah would be the descendant of, where the Messiah would be born, how the Messiah would die by crucifixion and amongst thieves, that the Messiah would be betrayed by a friend, how much money would be paid in exchange for his life, that the Messiah would be abandoned by his followers, that the Messiah would have to raise himself from the dead, that he would be preceded by another prophet who would warn of his near arrival. For these messianic prophecies and others to be fulfilled by Jesus hundreds of years before these prophecies were ever made, this is compelling proof that Jesus was an extraordinary person. And even more than that, this is compelling proof that Jesus was the Messiah. I can think of no other religious leader in history who has ever prophesied to come to earth, except for one, and that was John the Baptist. Not Mohammed, not Buddha, not the founder of the Mormons, or any other religious leader was prophesied to come to earth. Thus, Jesus' fulfillment of messianic prophecies written hundreds of years prior to his life on earth is a powerful and persuasive argument that Jesus was the Messiah. I have some final thoughts. As I stated at the beginning, though we in America oftentimes do not discuss messianic prophecies when we share the gospel message, I think we should still prepare ourselves to do this in order to assist anyone who may be unfamiliar with these prophecies and who Jesus is. Jesus convinced his apostles and the other followers of who he was using messianic prophecies. The apostles then convinced others of who Jesus was using messianic prophecies. We too should prepare ourselves with scripture to present Jesus as the prophesied Messiah. That's the teaching. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much that you are indeed the prophesied Messiah. Lord Jesus, thanks that you did come to this earth and that you accomplished what you did for us. Just think how your word says that the weakness of God is stronger than men. Thank you, Jesus, for becoming weak for us and vulnerable for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Greg.